The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Since the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He also says that the law and the prophets were to John. He said that in Luke 16. And since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Now again, suffer violence and pressing are identical words. So the Douay Rheims Bible. That's right. You never heard of it, have you? The Douay Rheims Bible? Because it predates the King James Bible. The Douay Rheims Bible was published in the late 16th century, and the King James Bible was published in the early 17th century. But here's what the Douay Rheims Bible says. It translates what John 11 calls suffers violence, and what Luke 16, verse 16, called pressing in. The Douay Rheims Bible says, everyone is behaving violently against it. Doesn't that make more sense? When two of John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus and tell Jesus John has been cast into prison, and John says to them that since the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, bad people are behaving violently against the kingdom of God. This is what the Lord was saying. He wasn't saying that we need to get violent. Even when John was in prison and he sent his disciples to say, ask him, is he the one to come, or should we look for another? John was in doubt and fear. He knew that his life was in peril. And he felt that if Jesus was really the Messiah, then he needed to come and get me out of jail. But that wasn't part of God's plan. That wasn't part of God's purpose for John. And Jesus knew that. He says, you go tell John. Go tell John the things that you have seen and witnessed. Have the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. And how the dead are raised, and even the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Go tell John that. And blessed is he who's not offended in me. Just because God doesn't answer your prayer the way you think he should answer your prayer, just because God doesn't come and manifest his presence when you think he needs to manifest himself right here, right now, doesn't believe that what God said isn't true. But it may suggest that you're not believing the truth. Do you hear what I'm saying? So Jesus was responding to John's disciples. And he was saying, I understand that everyone is behaving violently against it, against the kingdom. And that was true. Now, what is it to behave violently against the kingdom? To behave violently against the kingdom is to experience what John the Baptist experienced. Even when the religious folks went out to the Jordan River to John's baptism, they didn't go to really get baptized. They went to criticize him. To behave violently is to assault him. John the Baptist was assaulted. To behave violently is to afflict him. He was afflicted when he was falsely accused and thrown into prison. To behave violently is to oppress him. To persecute him. To behave violently is to constrain the messenger or even the advancement of the kingdom itself. All those things are violence. And perhaps you've experienced that in some way or on some level. How there's some people that have afflicted you, assaulted you because of your belief. They want to oppress you. Maybe you don't know what persecution is. Have you ever felt somebody trying to constrain you, telling you it doesn't take all that? You don't need to do all that to be saved. They're just trying to constrain you and not allow you to advance and grow in the things of God. This is what John experienced. Jesus called that violence. And who did the violence come from? Who did the violence come from? The violence came from Antipas. Herod Antipas, the tetrarch of Galilee. In some gospels they call him King of Galilee, but the truth is he never had the title of king. Only Caesar could be king. But Herod Antipas, John preached out against him because he was marrying his brother's wife. This is why John was thrown into prison. John says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Herod didn't want to hear that. So Herod decided to afflict John, throw him in prison. So was Herod Antipas that was being violent toward John and the kingdom of God. It was the Jewish leaders themselves, the leaders of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. All these forces were coming against John and the kingdom of God. And in that way, the kingdom of God was suffering violence. And the violent take it by force, it was simply violent people behaving badly, forcefully seizing upon the kingdom of God. Are you starting to see this just yet? I want you to be patient because I'm going to prove it to you scripturally. Can the kingdom ever be taken by force? Think about the kingdom. And think about every kingdom has a king. Can the kingdom ever be taken by force? But yet we think that when Jesus said, at least in the King James translation, the violent take it by force, we thinking he's talking about believers being violent. Not so, beloved. He is talking about those religious folks and Herod Antipas who were violent against John the Baptist. Can the kingdom ever be taken by force? Let me take you through some scriptures. I got time. Let me take you through some scriptures. In Acts chapter 13, verse 48, the apostle Paul and Barnabas is there in Antioch, and they're preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Bible says that the Gentiles gladly receive the message. They gladly received the gospel. They even honored and glorified the word of God. Then the Bible says in verse 48, as many as are ordained to eternal life believe. Everybody did not believe. Everybody did not press into it. There was nothing taken by force. So even though Paul was well received, and even though they glorified the word of God, only those that were ordained to eternal life, believed. Now, some of you probably begin to wonder about that. How's that? You're saved, but maybe one of your loved ones are not saved. How's that? You're saved, but not a friend of yours not saved yet. It has to do with the preordination of God. God knows exactly who's going to get saved, when they're going to get saved, and how they're going to get saved. Bless God, and where they're going to get saved. And if he didn't know that, he wouldn't be God. But even though Paul preached and they glorified the word, they honored the word, but only as many as were ordained to eternal life believe what Paul was preaching. There's a lot of folks get happy. They shout, and they don't believe a word you say. They're just going with the emotion. They're going with the feeling. But they're not believing a word that you're saying. But those that were ordained to eternal life, they believed. And those entered the kingdom of God. Then in Romans chapter 8, along the same line, verse 29 and verse 30. For whom he foreknew, check this out, beloved. For whom he foreknew, he did predestinate. That you might be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And to whom he predestined, he called. And to whom he called, he justified. And to whom he justified, he glorified. If you could take the kingdom by force, you would nullify the election and the calling of God. You would nullify and just void out, erase the predestination of God. Now, what am I saying? I am not saying that God knows only a certain number of people is going to be saved, and those are the people he's going to save. No, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that everyone that gets saved, it is according to God's predestination for them to be conformed to the image of the King. For them to be conformed to the image of his Son. And I'm telling you, beloved, you cannot take this by force. If you're not convinced yet, John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. Now I want you to chew on that one for a while. How are you going to just press in the kingdom? How are you going to take the kingdom when Jesus said, no man can come unto me except he's drawn by the Father who sent me? If the Father doesn't draw you, you're not coming. Now, I preach a lot of places, all over the world. And some people receive the message, some don't. But maybe God wasn't drawing them then. Because Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. Now, I grew up in the church all my life. My father was a pastor. I went to church every Sunday I can remember. But I wasn't saved. I hadn't been drawn. But I'll never forget that after I graduated from college, and I moved to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to work for IBM. There was a guy there at IBM who was always trying to witness to me. And I tried to avoid him every time I saw him. And one day he tricked me. He said, have you heard about this restaurant? It's a barbecue joint. You know, serving ribs and all that stuff. And he heard I like ribs. At least I did back then. So he offered to take me, and he says, I'm gonna pick up the check. It's on me. How could I say no to that? So I went to dinner with him. But I made the mistake, I let him drive. And then after dinner, on the way back in town, he said, well, you don't mind if we stop by this little church? They're having a revival. Just want to stop in there. Because I had told him I was all right with God because my father was a pastor. But I wasn't saved. But when I went into that church that night, that's the night I was drawn to the Father. That's the night I got saved. That's the night my life got turned around. And how is it that I could be in the church all my life, but yet I wasn't drawn yet? Because God knew through his predestination, come on, he knew the exact time, the exact place. And I'm telling you, you can't force anything. The question is, what is God up to? You've been witnessing some folk for a long time, and you're upset and you're impatient because they haven't got saved yet. It isn't their time yet. Just keep sowing seed. Keep watering those seeds, and God will give the increase at his appointed time. But you can't come to God unless he draw you. So how are you going to take it? How are you going to take it by force? How are you just going to press your way into the kingdom? I'm hearing the Lord. It doesn't work that way, beloved. What about John chapter 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Here Jesus clearly told Nicodemus, there's only one way to enter the kingdom, and you don't enter the kingdom by death, you don't enter the kingdom by force, you enter the kingdom by birth. You have to be born into this thing. You can't take it by force. You just can't forcibly press your way into it. Then Colossians chapter 1. Paul told the Colossians that we ought to give thanks unto the Father who's qualified us to be saints in the inheritance of light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. How do we get there? God conveyed us into his kingdom. We didn't force our way to where we are. We didn't take anything by force. We didn't press in. No, God conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So when we look at all this, how in the world am I supposed to get violent and take something by force? How much to just press into it? Just press in. We're leaving God out of the equation. We're taking God out of the center. And if God doesn't do it, it won't be done. And when God is doing it, you have the free will to say yes or no. But you don't have the free will to say, I'll do it when I get ready, Lord. I'm just going to press in when I get ready. I'll just take it by force before the rapture comes. Luke 17, verse 21, I alluded to it early. The Pharisees asked Jesus, when is the kingdom of God coming? Jesus told them the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. Neither will they say, look here, look there. For the kingdom of God is where? Within you. If you don't see it, how are you going to take it? It doesn't come with observation. If you don't see it, how are you going to press into it? It doesn't come with observation. It's within you. The kingdom of God is within you. And who put that kingdom in you? Nobody other than the king can put the kingdom in you. Did you hear what I said? Here's the one that's really the icing on the cake. In fact, let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. This is the icing on the cake. Verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We are receiving a kingdom. In fact, we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. This kingdom cannot be destroyed. So how could it be true that the kingdom of God suffer violence and the violent take it by force? When we have received a kingdom, it can't be shaken. Force can never be applied to this kingdom that's inside of you. It's an unshakable kingdom. It's an immovable kingdom, a kingdom that can't be destroyed. So here's the bottom line, beloved. Yes, the kingdom of God can suffer violence. Yes, the citizens of the kingdom can suffer violence. Every time somebody comes against you, every time somebody wants to afflict you in some way, to assault you, to oppress you, to persecute you. Every time somebody wants to stop you from doing the will of God, they are inflicting violence against the kingdom or one of the citizens of the kingdom. But you don't have to take it by force. Anything that the king has freely given unto his children, you don't take it by force. You freely receive it. Romans 8:32, I believe, tells us that through Jesus Christ, God has freely given unto us all things. And if he's freely given unto us, we just need to receive it and not take it by force. The more you do things based on man's interpretation, religion, and just false belief, you are going through an exercise of futility. Then you wonder why you're discouraged. You wonder why it's not working. It ain't supposed to work that way. It was never supposed to work that way. And so don't give up on God. Give up on yourself. Give up on your old way of thinking. Give up on your old thoughts. Give up on all your religion and Christianity, come on, that you didn't get from God. It breaks my heart when so many things are called Christian. Everything's called Christian nowadays. Jesus never called himself a Christian. Don't get mad at me, but Jesus wasn't a Christian. Jesus was a Jew, the Son of God, who was manifested in the flesh as a Jew. And he never called himself a Christian. They were first called Christians at Antioch, but they weren't called Christians because somebody was paying them a compliment. They were called Christians to be derided. They were being mocked. And yet we proudly wear the banner of the, or the label, the badge of being a Christian. But everything's Christian nowadays. You can talk any kind of way you want to talk. You can be foul mouth, use all kind of profanity, you're Christian. You can live any kind of life you want to live, you're Christian. Believe whatever you want to believe, you're Christian. Everything's Christian. But let me tell you something. The word that we heard from the Lord today, we need to get back to the basics and know that the word of God is in the Bible, not in these books, but in the Bible, he's written in our hearts. So you might look at this and say, well, this is the word of God. No, this is the Bible. The word of God is the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And how do we know it's God? Because the Bible confirms it as so. Come on, somebody. Paul says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. He didn't say the Bible, the word that proceeds out of God's mouth. Somebody said, well, the Bible is my roadmap. But what good is a roadmap if you don't have transportation? We got to get in touch with the Spirit of God and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Too many of us, we're like parroting things we've seen and we heard. We're just playing church oftentimes. The violent take it by force. What are you talking about? God was talking about violent people acting badly against his kingdom. That's not us. We're on the wrong side. The violent take it by force. Sounds good, doesn't it? You're just full of hot air, right? You're going to take it by force. You want to take this by force, but you won't receive the things he's freely giving you. Does that make any sense? You won't freely receive it. But the kingdom of God is within us. And I love Hebrews because it tells us it's an unshakable kingdom. It's an immovable kingdom. So nobody, you can come against me. Come on. You can assault me. You can try to flick me, oppress me. You can do whatever you want to do, but you can't shake the kingdom on the inside of me. No devil or demon from hell can take what God has given you. And I'm telling what God has given you, it's deep down on the inside. So no. The kingdom can suffer violence. But nobody could take anything that you have by force. Nobody. No one. Amen? Just receive what God has freely given us. So we've been talking about the kingdom of God, beginning with the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And after you repent and believe, then everything from there, it's like it's downhill, not uphill, but downhill, where you're getting more and more of a revelation of who you are in God's kingdom. Amen. And that this kingdom is on the inside And because it's on the inside, nothing or no one could take it, uproot it, other than you. So I'm not worried about outside forces. I'm not worried about what's coming from the outside. I need to be concerned about what's on the inside. Amen? And I thank God that I am a citizen of the kingdom. I am a son of God. You are a son of God. We are all citizens of the kingdom of God. We live in a different economy, and it's called the kingdom of God. And in this economy, we walk by faith and not by sight. In this economy, we're the head and not the tail. We have more than power. My God, we're more than conquerors. We have the power of God in this economy. And I don't care what's happening on the outside in this earthly, three-dimensional world economy. There's another economy we live in. And it's the economy on the fourth dimension, and that's the realm of the spirit. And this is where we got to live and conduct our affairs, on the realm of the spirit. We got to set our affections on things above and not just on these things that are beneath us. Amen. So next time somebody say, well, the Bible says that the violent take it by force, just let them know they really do. Everybody that want to behave badly against God and the things of God, they're trying to seize upon his kingdom by force, but they won't succeed. Herod thought he had succeeded when he hit John the Baptist's head off. No, he was only further in advancing the gospel. Amen? It was only redounding in the furtherance of Jesus' ministry. So even though his head got chopped off, he didn't lose. You know, Paul got his head chopped off too. He didn't lose. Now, I hope I never get my head chopped off, but I never want to lose either. How many hear what I'm saying? I'm keeping it real. You let somebody come at me with a machete or sword, I'm going the other way. I hear the word says, flee this untoward generation. Give the Lord some praise.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.